Good morning. I had to humble a young man last night at game night for the third time in a row now in chess. So you can guess which young man it was, but I'll leave it at that. But I'm glad to see everyone here on this beautiful Lord's Day, and I welcome all our visitors. So many hold to the past, worry about their past, to the point where they never focus on the present and focus on the future. Many worry when their past is brought up. Their past, they allow it to define who they are now. Years ago, when I was 18 and on, I was like every other teenager, graduating high school, troublemaker, so forth, so on. At that point, I went into a dark part of my life, and thankfully, I got through it and came back to Christ. From there on, I continued to grow closer to God every day. And now, standing here, if you compared me to the 18-year-old Colton, you could see a big difference. But we must understand that when one comes to Christ, they have been justified. They have been sanctified, and they will one day be glorified. And so, at this point in my life, my past means nothing. I am focused on the present and focusing on the future because I know who holds my future. And it is Jesus Christ. We must, as people, as human beings living in this life, we must understand that Christ is all that we need. Everything else will be provided. We have a guide who directs us through this life. And as long as we hold true to Him, there's nothing to worry or fear. And so Paul understood this, and so did all the other apostles. But in Philippians chapter 3, and we'll be in Philippians 3 the rest of this time, so you don't have to do much turning today. But Philippians chapter 3, Paul understands as he's writing to the Philippians, my former life, who I was, means nothing now because I have been justified, I have been sanctified, and one day I will be glorified. And so with verses 1 through 3 here, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation, for we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Who's Paul warning them about here? When he says, evil workers, beware of dogs, evil workers, beware of the mutilation. The Judaizing teachers, the Jews, who taught that the only way you could become part of the kingdom was to be circumcised. And to partake in these customs, traditions, as we do. But we understand, and Paul understood this once he came to Christ, all of that was done and gone. The old law, which is obsolete, now it's there for our learning, and we see the apostles go to synagogues, go and teach the Jews through the law of Moses. But these Judaizing teachers still held to a law that could not take away sin. It showed what sin is, but it could not take it away. And so he's trying to tell the church here in Philippi, beware of these people. And you must understand that we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Should we hold confidence in the flesh? No, we should not. Our flesh, it desires sin. It desires to do wrong. We desire lawlessness. We really do. And so going on here in verses 4 through 7, it says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Paul here talks about his past and his accomplishments. We know Paul, he was the Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, he looked at this. When Paul was persecuting the church, he saw them as heretics, people who were blaspheming God, and he needed to deal with the heretics. When you go to someone like Elijah, who was a prophet, how did he deal with the prophets of Baal? When he dealt with them, he took them down to the riverside and slaughtered them. Heretics were not to be put up with. And so this is how Paul was thinking. He was full of zeal, but for the wrong team. We need to understand that Paul looks at this as not gain anymore, but he has counted it loss for Christ. No longer does he care about his past. His past means nothing. He rejects this life, the life that he once lived, because now he has Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Messiah who was promised by the prophets of old. Paul counts it as loss, do we? Or do we still try to hold on to our past life? So many people try to hang on to their old ways of life and God. It doesn't work. We've studied Christ's teachings. We know what he has taught about this way of life. Not to hold on to it. Not to worry about it. But to focus on the present and future. In verses 8 through 11, Paul goes on. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. What's Paul here proclaiming? He proclaims that he has been justified through Jesus Christ and not the old law. Christ, and it is only through Christ in which one can be justified. Your past means nothing. And we, just like Paul, have been justified. And our past life means nothing. When we have been justified, made just through the blood of Christ, nothing of our past means anything. Our sins have been washed away. Yet the world will continue to bring up our past. And I'm sure Paul may have ran into situations, and he has. When he first became a Christian and he accepted Christ, it was 2 years until he would go and meet the other apostles. And we see when he would go, people would question, and Christians question, what's he doing here? Isn't he the one who killed our brothers and sisters, who imprisoned them? I mean, can you imagine? But of course, Barnabas would be there to support Paul and to help correct them and say, no, he is now our brother in Christ. He's a follower of the one whom he tried to destroy. And so we see the world will try to bring up our past, but remember, those who are in Christ have been justified. Means nothing any longer. And so, as we have been justified, we have also been sanctified, set apart. And he continues in verses 12 through 14 here. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This is spiritual maturity right here. Because Paul understands, no matter what life throws at him, he's in chains at this point, imprisoned for preaching Christ. But he doesn't look at it and say, boo-hoo me. He says, verses 12 through 14 of Philippians 3. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Once again, spiritual maturity. When we really look at all of Philippians, it's all about Christ. Even going back to chapter 1 here, Paul's chains, which he says are in Christ, it's made others be bold to preach the Lord. And even now here in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul is focusing on something. He's no longer focusing on the current situation he's in or of his past. He's pressing toward the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The hope which we have when we come to Christ. He has been sanctified, set apart for doing God's work, for doing his will. We have been sanctified. And now we are to grow closer to him. We are to understand here is our purpose. This is what we are to do. We are to preach Christ. We are to win lost souls and bring them to Christ. This is our mission. And to live faithfully. You can go all the way back to the Great Commission to understand what our purpose is. Paul was not worried about the past. He was not worried about his present. This is his presence. To be sanctified, set apart. So many don't act like they have been sanctified. They don't. They still live for the world. They still live for the old self and the things that they were doing and trying to hold on to God. Is that what sanctification looks like? No. Because when we look at Israel, they had been sanctified. But as you go through their journeys, what happened? They committed idolatry. They lived in idolatry. They became like other nations. They did not do as God had told them to do. And that was to drive out other nations, be nothing like them. They conformed to the world. And Paul covers this with the church in Rome. We have been sanctified. With verses 15 and 16 of chapter 3 here. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, spiritually mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. If we do not mature spiritually, we don't understand. We won't understand. We will find ourselves back under our old ways, sin. It happens every time. And people will ask, well, how do I mature spiritually? Keeping your head in the Word of God, living by these words, and having a prayer life. It's that simple. It really is. Yet it seems like people overcomplicate things. And it comes down to desire. It comes down to instant gratification. When we look at the apostles and what they went through it understanding what's coming, knowing the future, knowing if they remain faithful, what they will receive will be far greater than what we receive from the world. Paul understood, Peter understood, all the apostles understood this. That's why they died for Christ. That's why they were martyrs. They could care less about what was going on. They could care less about worldly affairs. They were only worried about reaching every lost soul, doing as they had been commanded, obeying God and doing His will. When we look at Christ, He came down from the comforts of heaven. His desire was to do His Father's will. And that's exactly what He did. He was not worried about who was governor, what was happening to the people. He worried about their souls more than He did their physical life. Now, yes, we see many times, and even with Paul and the apostles, healings took place, absolutely. But once again, these miracles were to bring them to believe and confirm the word. We should be more worried about what state, what condition our soul is in. That's spiritual maturity, understanding what is wrong with my soul. Is it right with God? That's spiritual maturity. The future is bright for those who are Christians, for who have been justified and who have been sanctified. One day they will be glorified. And so, glorification. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. We see here, just in verse 17, they have the brethren in Philippi have the apostles as a pattern on how they are to walk. And of course, we are to look to Christ for that pattern, as well as the apostles. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. We have people who do that. Those who have been justified can make the decision not to be sanctified and will head towards destruction. A quote from Steve Higginbotham. And how true that is. Yes, we can be justified, but we can choose not to be sanctified. But sadly, for those who choose that, are heading towards destruction. As Paul says here to the Philippians, their God is their belly, whose end, their enemies are the cross of Christ, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. These are individuals who are more worried about the past and the present, setting their mind on earthly things. This is not spiritual maturity. These are individuals who don't understand that as long as you remain faithful, one day you will be glorified. That means putting away worldly ideas, worldly things that are sin, and living for the future. We always have a choice. But one choice will cost us our souls. It's a sad reality, but it's reality. Because when we go to verses 20 and 21 of Philippians 3, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Spiritual maturity. Those who have been justified, sanctified, understand that our citizenship is not here. It's in heaven. When we have been set apart and we follow God, we live for him every day, we understand our citizenship belongs in heaven. And I will do anything in my power to make it there. I will live as faithful as I can, knowing we're not going to be perfect. Paul understood, I'm not perfect. He even at one point to one of the churches says, I am the chief of sinners. Paul understood, but he knew from the promise from God, from Christ, that those who love him and keep his commandments will make it. Christ didn't expect us to be perfect, but he did expect us to love and keep his commandments, to do our best every day to live for him and to put away sin, to put away all these things that separate us from God. When you look at the Hebrews, many of them had chosen to be justified but not sanctified and went back under the old law, in which there is no salvation to be found. And for them awaits eternal punishment. I pray that if you are here this morning, I pray that you choose today to be the day you become justified and sanctified in Christ and give your life to him. I really do. As a Christian, I don't wish to see anyone to be sent to eternal punishment. When we look at Paul, even weeping at this moment, he doesn't wish for these people who have chosen to not be sanctified. He doesn't want to see them go to hell. He wants to see everyone that he has encountered get to heaven and be with God for eternity. That's love. But yet we have many during this time who rejected Christ, and we have many today who continue to do so. Understand, and I say this over and over, you're not promised tomorrow. So many continue to put off Christ. This may be your last time, your last chance to do so. Don't wait. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word that has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. And you must believe that word, John 3:16-17. And then you must repent of your sins, change one's mind, have nothing more, put off that old self, repent of it. Come, godly sorrow will lead one to true repentance. Acts 3:19. And then we must confess our faith in Christ Jesus, Romans 10:10. But it doesn't stop there. We must make contact with the blood of Christ, and that is to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Galatians 3:26, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15-16, and so forth. But it doesn't stop there either. We must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. That's the hard part, is living faithfully. fighting temptation every day, overcoming trials, overcoming obstacles, and remaining faithful, remaining steadfast in truth. That's what we are called to do. But thankfully, we have brothers and sisters here who love you and will encourage you every day that you need it. So come forth this morning and give your life to Christ. For one day, you will be glorified for those who are faithful. But if you are a Christian and you've fallen back into your old ways, once again, you don't have time. Come forward. Allow us to pray for you, to encourage you. Renew your walk with Christ and get back on that journey. So if you're here this morning, I pray and hope that you will come forward and allow us to assist you in any way. And so, if you're here this morning, come as we stand and as we sing.